Hello, this is Fabi. Thank you for being here. I'm super excited about today's podcast, but before I get started, I wanted to apologize because I was supposed to record this last week and the intention is to have 10 minutes weekly released every Friday, and last week was just a bit crazy in my life because apart from doing this, I am a professional photographer, for those of you who don't know. So I have my business and this is a crazy time of the year, so I didn't want to be rushing this topic and this podcast, this episode, so I made a decision to get a few things done that I needed to do last week to put all my effort and attention and everything today here and talk about this. And it's a topic that I'm super passionate about because it's huge these days, raising kids. It's the screen time. It's not a lot of people's favorite. It's definitely not. I think there is a lot of information, but a lot of guilt involved around this topic, a lot of different opinions. And of course, as all of these topics related to motherhood and parenting is super personal. Today, I want to share how our experience has been while trying to create what I would say like consciousness around it or conscious boundaries around it at home. I feel when you are not a parent, there are so many things that you hear or see other parents do. It's an opportunity, right, to discuss with your partner or think about it. I would do that differently. I would do it in this way. And you have all of the conversation thinking that you are going to be doing everything amazingly or in a very specific way. And then you have kids and everything changes, right? And a lot of the things that you thought you would do in this way or another change, because along the way you learn different options, you change the way you see things, and or you adjust to the life you're having, right? And in our case, that happened with so many things, as I'm sure it happened to all of you listening. But with this particular topic, with screen time, it's been one of those that we have been very committed to, and we have persisted. Like the way we saw it before having kids and the way we see it now, it's pretty much the same. And with time, we've been even more committed to this and realized that this is definitely the right path for us. And so anyways, I'm here to tell you how the experience has been. It's an enormous challenge, of course, because the technology and screens in particular are so accessible and are definitely going to be part of our kids' life. And the intention is not to create or raise kids where there is no access at all to screens and technology, right? Because that wouldn't be realistic. And so the intention is to simply create boundaries around it. And we have established so many little things here and there that we feel we see results today, 9 years on, almost 9 years in a few weeks. I can't believe it. And being an immigrant mom, you see yourself a lot in the position of a lack of support, help, especially help, loneliness sometimes. And I feel that when I see the way I did it, there were so many occasions where it would have been a lot easier if I would have relied in screen time for my kids. And I tried not to. I put a lot of effort on that and I feel it's doable. I didn't struggle more or less because of that, to be honest. This is going to be a topic that we will be talking in other episodes as well. So today I'm just going to open it. I'm just going to tell you my perspective, the way I see things and the way we have done it with very practical daily the tips that you can put in practice in your daily life if you have the same similar concerns that we have related to screens and kids. And I feel I'm going to tell you first my motivation. The biggest motivation is when I think about all the things that our kids are missing out on these days because of the exposure that they have on screens. So every time we decide to give them the iPad, for example, on the way somewhere in a road trip, and the kids stop, you know, looking through the window and creating stories in their mind. I remember that when I was little, growing up, that was very fun, actually, like going through the window, and I used to like daydream every time I was in the car in a road trip, or every time we decide to give them the phone to play video games in a waiting room, and you that conversation that could have been happening with your child is gone missing. That conversation is not happening. And what really bothers me, and why this is all related to my whole topic with connection, is that we live in a moment in time where we all complain on how busy we are and how rushed things are sometimes, and everyone wants to do so many things, and life in general is fast, right? And I hear so many times parents complaining that they don't have time to connect with their kids, to have one-on-one with their kids. But if you think about it, there are so many micro moments in waiting rooms, when you are taking the tube with them, that, for example, that was my case in London constantly, or when you are driving them around somewhere. There are so many times, and those moments could easily be opportunities for connection that simply go missing every time the screens are around. So all of this, all the opportunities that gone missing, the experience that gone missing when the screens are around, that's a motivation. That's a motivation to take on the challenge and to work towards being more conscious around this and to talk to you about it as well. So, okay, I'm here to tell you that there is a middle point that we can all find. And if I manage to do it being an immigrant, no support, no help and all of that, I feel we can all try to do it at least, or keep it in mind and work towards that. As they always say, it's not one day to another, we can all work towards that. So our experience, the first 2 years, we didn't even think about putting our kids in front of a screen to start with, to be honest. With Matthias, with my first one, 9 years ago, we didn't consider that. I had read about the first 2 years being important developmentally and trying to avoid them, that recommendation of the pediatric, American Pediatric Society. I'm going to leave you a lot of articles with information backing up a lot of the things I'm saying. I cannot read them all here, but I'm going to leave you a list of a lot of the articles and research that I have done. You can go and have a look. So anyways, I had read something related to about the 2 first years in life, and for me, it was simply something that made sense. For me and my husband was like, we really wanted our kids to discover their world around them instead of before discovering the screens. I feel the screens are overstimulating, and I wanted them to learn how to play independently and be, you know, you're sitting down, you're discovering their hands, their world around them. And it was one day at a time. It wasn't a commitment of like, oh, the day they turn 2, we are going to turn the screens on. No, it was just one day at a time, and we managed to do it. Like the first 2 years, no screens for both. The second one was, of course, harder. And the way I did it with the second one, I was lucky enough to live in a place where we had a really lovely playroom with no access to the TV. The TV was in the living room. The moments where Matthias was already watching something in the TV, then for my second one, I used to just take him to that playroom. So for him to play and not be, you know, there is a way around it. Even if you have older kids watching TV, you can take the other one to another room. So those were the first 2 years. And we realized two things as a result of those first 2 years of no being exposed to TV and screens in general. And they were very interesting. One, they weren't engaged to the TV for long, which was, for me, was really nice. But at the same time, was challenging sometimes, because when you are putting them in the TV, sometimes you're hoping they're going to stay there for a while, for like 10 minutes at least, or you are finishing dinner or cleaning something or sending that email that you really need to focus and send. And that was a struggle sometimes, I have to say, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I was so happy whenever I was watching Matthias in the screen, and then a few minutes later he was just playing on his own, grabbing a piece of paper and drawing something, you know. I love that, even though it was a challenge because I needed a time. I really enjoyed seeing that he wasn't that engaged to whatever he was watching. And the second thing that was very positive that we realized was that turning the TV off wasn't a major drama thing, because it was something new and it was just something that was there and they weren't too engaged. So those were two things that we saw as a result of not giving them the first 2 years, as well as all the things that we feel they gain in terms of developmentally and being able to discover, as I said before, their world before discovering the screens. So the second part of this journey was, yes, when they started to have access to a TV, there were three things that were key. The first one was checking the content. That was very, like, of course, age appropriate. But not only that, but also we were very mindful of, like, not exposing them to something that was, like, super overstimulating. We try to avoid shows that were, like, super colorful with a lot of action happening. We prefer to start with things like Sarah and Doug was a very cute one, Daniel Tiger as well. There is a beautiful one called The Very Hungry Caterpillar, where someone is pretty much reading the book and the images are just super cute and mild for little kids. The other two things that were key during these times, during these years, were trying to avoid creating patterns in terms of outside home, especially because you might have a moment in time during the day where you give them or you turn the TV on, but we try to avoid creating patterns in terms of outside. For example, if I was in the tube, I remember once that I had to breastfeed and I had to breastfeed my baby, and Matthias, I wanted to keep him safe because he used to be a runner, so I felt he was gonna run away in the wrong platform. And I remember one time I had to give him my phone in a situation like that. We have all been in situations like that. So anyways, I had to give him and make an exception. I remember telling him, just for today, even if you say that phrase that I say it, just for today, the next time that we walk into a tube and he sat next to me, he's like, can I have the phone? Obviously, for them, that creates that connection. It's like, oh, next time I'm going to ask for it. And it's obvious that they will ask for it. But that's the moment where we break the pattern. And it's a lot easier when you break a pattern like that instead of when you give them the phone again and again and again. And then you realize all of a sudden that it's a bit out of the hand and that he's not doing anything else when he's in the tube but being in the phone. And breaking that pattern then is a lot harder. So try to break it straight away. If you once have to do it then. And then the next time they ask for it, be super assertive. Nope, that was only that time. Now you can play with this or talk to me or let's watch or look what is happening outside the window. We can play. We used to play a lot in the tube. I spy with my little eye. But anyway, and the third one that I would say that is still being super handy is predicting situations. Bring always things with you. I used to have like in a small bag with Lego pieces for restaurants. That was super good. Sticker books are amazing. Coloring books are great. And so those were the first years. And we used to have a few games in our phone for situations, extreme situations like long waiting times in airports or planes, things like that. They knew they could have it, but I would always have options as well. So a mix of things. This moment when they started to have TV and things like that, this is a moment where probably many parents decide to buy an iPad. We have never justified an iPad at home. Is one of the decisions that we have made around screen times. To be honest with you, I have never been in a situation where I really need an iPad. Maybe when we were doing homeschool, because Matthias was using my laptop, it would have been handy to have either another laptop or an iPad. But simply, an iPad is something that I don't consider necessary. That's my very personal opinion. And we've never been in a position of like, how should we get one? Honestly, we've never debated about it. We go away on the weekends and it's perfect occasion to have like technology free weekends on the camping trips, for example. We have never done road trips with technology with like screens, and yes, that has been our decision. And so let me talk to you now about the third stage around this journey, which is the one we are at the moment with the kids being a bit older. And when Matthias was 6, I think he was 6 and a half, and it was more of a social theme because he started to talk about Minecraft and saying that he was a bit away from conversations and that all of his friends were talking about Minecraft. So the way we have been doing it since we introduced the video games a couple of years ago has been, since the beginning, we established that they could play only on the weekends. At first, they used to play with a PlayStation that my husband had to play FIFA whenever he could play. He had that probably before kids is when he was playing the most. But anyways, we had a PlayStation, so we put Minecraft there. And Minecraft is a game that, yes, as I said, Matthias wanted to play because friends were talking about, as it happens. And it becomes a social thing. The video game. So you have to find that balance between being flexible and listening to the games they are mentioning and that the friends are talking about. So you do a bit of research every time there is a new video game that they want to download. I check it out, and many times I say yes, and many others I say no, simply because they don't go according to what we want them to be playing or exposed to. So it's about thing around this time. So I think around this time, it's all about finding that balance where you show some level of like being flexible and listening to the things they want to play or the days they want to play, or if they want to play on a play date, for example. A very good trick that we apply on play dates is like, Matthias is allowed to play in play dates, but Ben is not yet, just because of age. And for Matthias, I find easier or better if they play the amount of time that you let them play on the play date at the beginning, and they get it out of the system, and then they go and play something else. And I even say it unto him and his friends, like, okay guys, you can play, and then you will have to do something else, and they will go and find it. But it works better if you let them play at the beginning. That's at least what the way I find it. And the other thing that is very useful is the timers. Alexa, we have an Alexa, and the lights just came on because I said Alexa. And anyways, we have an Alexa at home near the living room, and they set their own timers. And whenever they can play on the weekends, they just go downstairs on their own, put their timer, they know how it works. And when you establish something that clearly, I think it really helps, because there is no, you know, that negotiation constantly on the weekends and everything. They get what they get to play in the mornings, and then they are happy and they go with their life. If they want to put the two times that they have for Saturday and Sunday together and play 1 hour in one day instead of the half an hour and half an hour, then they do that. And small things, those are just personal things that we have been trying to do. And yeah, just showing that, you show them that you know what you're doing. This is what we're doing. This is how we are gonna do it. And you know what? Even if things got out of hand at some point, if you're coming from a holiday, for example, we are about to go to holidays and things get more flexible during the holidays. And sometimes at the end of the holiday, you might feel that, oh, things are completely out of control. It's always you're always in time to sit down with your kids if they are older to understand and say, okay, this is getting away from the way we want it to be. Let's do it. Let's start over. Let's start this way from now on. So we can all do that and change the pattern that we had created unintentionally, for example, around this topic. And honestly, I see every time, for example, I wake up in the morning and I know my kids, and my kids are not allowed to watch TV in the morning, for example. It's one of the many small boundaries or rules that we have set around this topic. And when I see that they are just simply playing Legos, and if the TV was on, that play time wouldn't be happening. That, you know, social aspect and playful aspect between the siblings wouldn't be happening, for example. So I feel there is something to get out of saying no. Every time we say no, they can gain something with that. And anyways, as any other topic related to this, is complex, is personal, and this is just my way, how the journey's been, and all the, I've put a lot of effort on this, and I hope this was useful. We will continue to talk about this in other episodes, but this was just to introduce the topic around screens and the things we have done so far. I hope you enjoyed it. Leave me your feedback, and I will try to translate the long article that I wrote in Spanish so that you can all read it, and I will leave some of the links part of the research I have done, and the links that might be useful for you if you're interested, in the podcast notes. Thank you, and bye-bye.